Welcome, everybody, to the Sun on the Strip podcast. This is Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun. I've got another really cool conversation with a Las Vegas headlining entertainer to share with you in this week's episode. But first, some obviously huge news that you already know about. Tuesday night, the governor's office released a bunch of information, highly anticipated information after Memorial Day weekend. And the Strip is coming back to life. June 4th, it looks like it's going to be the date when casinos will be allowed to open on the Strip once again. I'm sure you've already read a little bit about this, or maybe a lot about this, but you can get a lot more information today and in the coming days at LasVegasSun.com. I think it's safe to expect the casinos that had previously indicated they would be ready to open as soon as they got the green light. Those are the ones that are likely going to open. I'm talking about Wynn and Encore, Caesars Palace, Flamingo, Bellagio, New York, the Venetian, and Treasure Island, among others. I think we're going to see other news about those coming out if we haven't already. But how is this opening date's going to affect other aspects of life and fun on the Las Vegas Strip? Well, public gatherings have been increased to no more than 50 people while practicing social distancing, of course. Businesses that are staying closed include adult entertainment such as gentlemen's clubs, as well as nightclubs and day clubs, and live sporting event venues and live performance venues with spectators. But the governor elaborated on that point in a pretty interesting way. I'm just going to read you his remarks. In phase two, events with live performances and live performers will not be allowed with spectators. However, certain events will be allowed under specific restrictions for the purpose of broadcasting or live streaming, but they will not include a live audience or any spectators. This may include sporting events, concerts, theater performances, or other entertainment type events. There will also be protocols for other spectator-less events that won't be filmed or broadcasted. To hold a closed or spectator-less event, an event operator shall submit an operation plan to the appropriate state authority with jurisdiction over the event. For example, the Gaming Control Board will approve these events on gaming properties, and the Nevada Athletic Commission will approve these events for any athletic competitions that it regulates. For those that don't fall within the jurisdiction of the Nevada Athletic Commission or the Gaming Control Board, they will be approved by the Nevada Department of Business and Industry. So, what does that mean? Well, shows, basically, we're saying shows cannot happen with an audience, but any kind of performance would have to be approved by the Gaming Control Board. More interestingly, this information came out on the same Tuesday that NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman announced the plan for the Hockey League to resume playing out this season. And that plan basically includes getting rolling right into the playoffs and operating out of two hub cities. Eastern Conference and Western Conference play happening in two hub cities in the United States and or Canada. Las Vegas is one of seven hub cities that could be the site for the NHL season to conclude. So we could see hockey at T-Mobile Arena without fans. The NHL commissioner, and one day the NHL commissioner and the governor of Nevada pretty much paved the way for that to be able to happen, which is really exciting for sports fans and Vegas Golden Knights fans and people who need sports in general. Other businesses that were closed in Nevada and will now be allowed to open that exist on the Strip in one way or another are spas, massage services, aquatic facilities, swimming pools, art galleries, museums, aquariums, movie theaters, bowling alleys, indoor malls, mini golf, and amusement parks. Is there an amusement park on the Strip? I guess not. A lot of excitement happening. A lot of these things are going to be allowed to open on May 29th on Friday. But casinos will have to wait until June 4th, as it stands right now, Tuesday. Like I said, you have to stay up to date on this at LasVegasSun.com. That's going to be the best place to get all the latest strip news. And I will be following along with this as well. My interview this week is a personal favorite for sure. Sean Stockman is one third of Boyz II Men, legendary R&B act that has been performing a residency at the Mirage for almost 7 years now. You may have seen Boyz II Men most recently on Songland, the songwriting competition show on NBC, as well as on the season finale of Saturday Night Live. Boyz II Men teamed up with Babyface, who's also been headlining at the Mirage this year, to perform a really cool version of one of their songs that they actually recorded, the four of them recorded separately in their own homes. And it was a pretty special experience. And that's what we started talking about. This is Sean Stockman from Boyz II Men.
I know we just saw you a few weeks back singing a song for Mama on Saturday Night Live with Babyface for their that show's, I guess, last episode of the season. What was that like putting that together for TV while, you know, everybody's obviously all separated from each other?
It was interesting. You know, it was really eye-opening in the sense of understanding how much still can be done, even in this current status that we're all in. To be able to have Babyface re-record the track, send it to each of us individually, all of us record the record in our individual homes, send it back to Babyface to mix it and make sure it sounds nice, and then to actually shoot the video in our respective homes. I think, honestly, it was one of the more beautiful, tributes and presentations that we've done in a long time, because it was stripped down of all of the bells and whistles. It was just real, especially for this particular song and what we're going through right now. It just felt very human, which is what I loved about it. So, and we got a pretty good reaction from folks. So this is, you know, it just a testament of the intent was there, and we did it all while being in the comforts of our own houses, which is amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember watching it, and I was texting with a friend who was watching it at the same time, and my friend was like, oh, this is clearly, like, this is a recording that was done a long time ago, and they're just, like, lip-syncing over it right now. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure this is new. And I think we assume that, like, you know, iconic artists like you guys and Babyface, that you guys all have, like, an incredible studio set up in all of your homes. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case either, right?
Well, you know, it's funny because, well, to answer your first part, we recorded it the week that everybody saw it in our houses. I never had a studio in my house, like ever, because I always wanted to keep my work separate from my personal life. Like, if I had to record something, I would just go into the studio and record it and then come home and relax. But because of this, you know, quarantine, we're now, you know, forced to create at the house. So I don't have an elaborate studio. And here's the beauty about music. You don't need it. I have literally a desk with a 25 key controller. I got some really good speakers I got some really good speakers coming today, as a matter of fact. I got a laptop. I got a microphone. I got Pro Tools and I got Pro Logic. That's all you need to create, mix, master, sing, all of those things. Like, the days of needing a full-fledged 48-track big old studio and all this other stuff, it's really kind of obsolete. So I did that, and everybody else did the same thing. As a matter of fact, how about Nate sang his part for Mama in a closet on an iPhone?
Wow.
So this is the level of technology that we're dealing now. We don't really understand, you know, at least a lot of us don't understand how much really can be done. So, mm-hmm. you know, it, in comparison to what Nate had to do, mine was pretty fancy. But the fact that he was able to record in his closet on an iPhone and for it to sound the way that it did for Saturday Night Live, like, just it blew me away.
It was cool to see Babyface on there, too, because obviously
yeah.
involved with that song. But also he was, you know, that was maybe a week after or a couple weeks after his epic Instagram Live Teddy Riley battle that he did, which was incredible. Yeah. You guys have collaborated with him so many times throughout your career, and now you've been sharing your room at the Mirage in Las Vegas with him, and hopefully that will continue into the future. That must be kind of special for you guys to be playing the same room in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it was very cool. It's cool that Face is able to, you know, extend his brand to being one of the greatest, most prolific songwriters in the world and one of the greatest performers, too, believe it or not. A lot of people don't look at him for that, but he puts on a hell of a show. So Vegas is perfect for him in that sense. And obviously me and the guys, we've been doing this for over 6 years now. So looking forward to getting back, not in a rush, because we want to make sure that the experience is the same for people, if not better, for everyone to enjoy the show and to feel good about being at the place and just seeing what they hope is considered a good show to them. So, you know, it's really one of those things, man, where it's like, you know, where these are the times where you're fortunate to have these types of institutions. Whereas we know that once all of this breaks down, we're able to get back to work and to a place that a lot of people go to. And again, yes, it's a daunting situation being in these spots, but it also makes me feel very grateful and very, very gracious. The fact that we have been able to do this as long as we have, and knowing that once all of this is done, we'll have a home to go back to.
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of people know how long you guys have been playing Vegas. You're pretty close to that 7-year mark, I think, into your Vegas residency. Did you guys ever think that you would, you know, find a home on the Las Vegas Strip and be playing so many shows to Vegas crowds like this?
Years ago, anyway, Vegas was considered the place where artists would go to die. And as we got older, we realized that's not the case. So we understood later that as we understood how the industry's gone and how things are going even now, a place like Vegas is an amazing blessing, and it's a great thing for artists like us who've been around and fans that's been around, you know, just the same. So they have a place where they can enjoy one of the sexiest towns in the world and still come see us. So it's a double a reward for those who are coming to experience the city itself, and then able to come and see us for those fans who do want to come see us. It's very cool.
Now, last time we talked, I remember you said your favorite part of the Vegas show is when you get to strap on the guitar and you guys play some rock and roll and some other fun stuff. Then now, of course, your first solo album, Forward, is out. And I know you're going to continue to be making your own music. Do you think you'll branch out into rock or some other genres in the future with your solo career?
I sure hope so. I mean, the whole idea of me learning guitar is for me to live out all of those childhood dreams that I had. You know, when you used to have the broomstick as a kid and you used to watch, the Prince and all these rockers that's on stage, you know, and being able to live out those things. So I'm happy to say that I've done that to some degree, and I hope that it extends. I mean, the whole point is to grow, and you're never too old to grow. And just the guitar itself has broadened my horizons. It's made producing records and creating songs even cooler. because now I'm able to add those elements that I would normally hire somebody for. I could play it myself, which is very cool. So, and I've even had a couple of my industry friends actually ask me to play guitar on some of their songs, which again is an honor. You know what I mean? So it kind of is a nod to, I guess, the hard work and people taking notice to it. So yeah, man, like I plan to play hopefully one day with Eric Clapton and, you know, and Gary Clark and all those guys, and, you know, alongside them and hitting the lick or two. You know what I mean? That'd make me happy as hell.
That's pretty awesome. Who knew? Sean Stockman, studio musician, your new career.
That's it. You know, and you know what? And to add to that too, I've added something else. My thing is, if you don't come out of this pandemic better than what you were before it started, like, you wasted the time and you missed the whole, I guess you could say, subliminal point to all of this. Yeah, again, a daunting time. A lot of people are losing their lives. But for those who are alive, this gives us an opportunity to change, to evolve, to do certain things that we probably wouldn't have thought of doing before, but now we have plenty of time to act out on them. Case in point, doing another project for the guys and I had to engineer my first song, had to mix it. So I took all the parts of the guys and the music that I produced and wrote, and I actually, with the help of some engineer friends who was on the phone with me, kind of helping me tweak stuff, like, I actually engineered a song for the first time and mixed it for the first time. And it came out pretty damn good, I must say. So, you know, I'm learning a lot, man. Like, you know, I'm getting my skill set up to a degree that I didn't think that I would be able to. And it's, again, opened my eyes. Who would have thought at 47 I'd still be excited to learn, you know, about music and certain facets of
it. It sounds like you have been pretty productive so far. Are we going to see some more new music coming out of this period, whether it's from just you or from Boyz II Men?
I think you're going to see a little bit of both. You're going to see some Boyz II Men stuff coming very soon. And I've been writing, I think, a song or two a day in my house. So just trying to figure out which ones would be pretty cool to release. You know, I mean, Forward is still out now. And for those of you who have it, thank you very much. If you don't have it, please pick it up. That solo effort is still out there in the streets, and you know, I want to make sure that people know about that. But this is a world that craves content. So outside of the Forward record, yeah, I'm going to release maybe a single here, a single there, just because I'm recording them, and why the hell not? You know, the world is slowly reopening, but all our people are still in their homes and they're still discovering things themselves. So why not give them something to discover?
Tell me about Harmony Wines, because this is a different project that I wasn't aware of until now. How did this thing come about?
This was years and years and years in the making. And this was something that, you know, we've been pretty much trying to do and get done for a long time. And we've stumbled across a couple of ideas and a couple of companies. And, you know, it's just funny how things work. Like, you know, if something's not right, then it just won't happen. And I think that's what happened with our previous, endeavors. Like, we just didn't get an opportunity. The opportunity just didn't grow because it just wasn't meant to happen. But now we got with our co-owner of the wine with us. His name is Tom Sullivan. He's like he's the founder and chairman of Lumber Liquidators, and, you know, billionaire guy. You know what I'm saying? And having a couple conversations with him and a couple meetings with him, you know, and him also being in the wine business as well, and being a wine connoisseur. We hit it off and we felt like, okay, let's go about this the right way. So, he bought an actual chateau in Bordeaux, France, and had a well-renowned, you know, winemaker. His name is Damien Landoir, and he created and concocted the wine. It's all organic, no pesticides, no nothing that were sprayed on the grapes. The grapes learn how to fight off diseases by themselves, which with no help. So, which makes our wine special. On top of the fact that as the wines were growing, they actually played Boyz II Men music. You know, as you know, grapes being a plant, they respond to music and frequencies. And in the midst of playing classical music and, you know, other things, they played some of our music as well, just to give the grapes a certain type of boost and a different type of boost that may not have been the case with other wines. So, you know, we say that not only now that you can hear our harmonies, you can taste our harmonies too. And we're extremely excited about it. And I'm not just saying it because it's my wine, but it's actually good, man. I don't know if you drink wine, but it's great. I think it'd be great to pick some up. We're right now we're in 42 states online. And we got three Bordeaux's. It's Bordeaux Rouge, Bordeaux Blanc, Bordeaux Rosé. And it's great. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the response so far. And just even with wine experts who tasted it. And we've had like a couple parties and stuff in Florida where we invited some sellers, and they all love it. And I'm very excited about it too, because this is the moment we've been waiting for, because we've been, again, as I mentioned, been trying to get into this for a long time, but I think we hit the mark with this one.
That's incredible. Yeah. My next case of wine delivery is definitely going to be Harmony.
I think you're going to like it. I really do. I think it's not intrusive. It's not acidic. It's you ever have wine and, you know, you have to, like, your neck goes back a little bit because it might be a little too aggressive or too tart or whatever. Like, the beauty of our wine, and this is what one of the guys said at one of our tastings. He's a seller, and, you know, we're all at lunch and we're eating and we're trying out the different wines and everything. And he stops and he says, you know, a wine is good when you're talking, you're doing your normal casual thing, and you're not realizing that you're on your third glass. So
it's that smoothness imparted by the music. Clearly it's the song.
Yeah, I guess so. I get, you know, and that was like out of everybody that's tasted the wine, and everybody seems to really enjoy it. Like, that compliment stuck out to me, because that's what wine should be. Me being a wine drinker, I don't want to feel like I'm struggling to get through a glass, let alone a bottle. So to have a wine, you're eating something good, you're talking to your friends, you're laughing, you're joking, and then not realizing that the bottle is practically gone because everybody's been going for it, is the best compliment you can give any wine. You know, it's almost like it's exactly like when you know, Boyz II Men puts our name on a marquee and everybody fills up the room. That's a compliment. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing else they have to say or do. You already did it. Just the fact that you showed up and filled up those seats is a wonderful thing. Same thing with the solo record. Everybody that's, you know, picked it up has enjoyed it and has been telling their friends about it. That's the biggest compliment.
Well, what else do you want to say to fans or anybody listening who is looking forward to seeing you on stage again soon, maybe even at the Mirage in Las Vegas?
We miss y'all. We miss you very much. And we hope to see all of you again very, very soon. And hang in there. I know it's hard. I know everybody's really, really anxious to get back out on the streets. But let's be pragmatic here and think about the fact that there's no vaccine. There's no vaccine, guys. So every time you go out, you risk yourself to getting this virus. And a friend of mine, you know, it's tough now, but nowadays you wake up to concerning news. That he was telling me that the coronavirus in China, it seems like with the new outbreaks, that it seems to be changing. Mm-hmm. Whereas the virus now is what did it say? I'm gonna just read it real quick. It says the Chinese doctors reported signs of coronavirus may be changing based off a new cluster of cases. One of China's top critical care doctors said patients in the northern provinces of Jilin and Heilongjiang appear to carry the pathogen for longer and are recovering more slowly. Mm-hmm. So it seems like the virus is working out, going to the gym. Mm-hmm. So if that's happening with no vaccine, then it could potentially affect us all. So again, we really have to play our part. It's hard. It sucks. I want to go out there. I want to perform. I want to get back into crowds, but I want to be safe and I want everybody else to be safe. And until there's a vaccine, we should all practice what we've been practicing. Social safe distancing, staying in a house if you can, wearing masks, washing your damn hands, you know, like all of those things are extremely, extremely important. And we have to continue to practice no matter how inconvenient it might be. And that's all I wish for. I mean, outside of the obvious stuff, buy the wine, support the group, support my solo album. What I'm most concerned about is everybody doing the right thing and practicing safety. That's all I care about. Be safe. Because if you're not around, an album doesn't matter. Period.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sun on the Strip podcast. You can find past episodes at lasvegassun.com/podcasts or at Apple Podcasts, where you can also subscribe, rate, and review this show. Hope you enjoyed listening. Be back next Wednesday with another new episode. Have a great week.